Today on Real Radio.
We'd have to reject the historical data, and that the evidence is this: societal and cultural change happens when Jesus is embraced. The historical data shows us that there's a great societal shift in cultures that receive Jesus Christ. This, to me, is an absolute fun thing and a terrifying thing. Church, are you with me? Go study. Please do this. Read, study, and find this out.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher steps away from his chronological study and delivers an impassioned presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Yesterday we presented the first part, so today we pick up with more. Society still tends to teeter between Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. But if you are a true born-from-above believer, you just might cheer our teacher on today. As well, you might hear some fascinating facts about Christmas that you never knew before. Well, let's pick up from where we left off yesterday in Pastor Jack Hibbs' presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus.
Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Merry Christmas. Mankind is searching for heaven. Every culture in the world is searching for heaven. The most technologically advanced culture to the most backward, removed, darkest jungle culture. They all have their pursuit, desire, longing for heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Merry Christmas. Mankind longs for eternal life. We write books, we dream about things, we send search parties looking for the fountain of youth. Why? To live forever. We fix body parts to make us live forever. All this forever stuff. I was talking to a woman, dear woman of this church, who has been a longtime greeter of this church and used to welcome you into this church as you would come in from the parking lot. And she's on her last leg. She's on her last few days of life. And when you're laying on your bed and they've sent you home, the peace, the assurance, the reality that Jesus keeps his word in heaven awaits you. You know, you just kind of get ready. We prayed together and we talked about heaven and we talked about the transition. Man thinks about heaven. Jesus says, regarding life, regarding living forever, he says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Isn't that great? Mankind longs for these things and for salvation. In John 3:16, at Christmas, like never before, church, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to neglect the biblical accounts if we're going to have a Christmas without Jesus. Because it said that the world would benefit from Jesus Christ and his coming. In Isaiah 9:1, it says there, verses 1 and 2, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned, concerning the coming of the Messiah. And then Titus 1:2, it says, the truth of God gives us confidence of eternal life, which God has promised us before the world began. for God cannot lie. I love it. Many other scriptures I have, I'm not going to quote them right now. Will you just jot them down? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, read them later. That's your homework about what Jesus came to benefit the world. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. Nobody can find fault with his ministry. Nobody in this world at this hour, no one can find fault with the ministry of Jesus. I challenge the world. What is it that Jesus did that doesn't meet your requirements or standards? What is it? Isn't it interesting? What do you have against God? I guarantee you, literally, you have something against some man or some people, but you have no argument against God. You may think you do. You have nothing against God. State your argument. You have nothing. What has he done? He's given you life. You're breathing right now because of his grace and his goodness to you and I. And Jesus cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, loved people. And why is it, church, that that name can incite a riot right now? What has he done? Isn't it interesting? That very name, which the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God the Father. And by the way, you might say, well, I don't believe in God. It didn't say that. It said every knee. Do you have knees? Check and see. You will bow. You will either bow now, which is a really smart thing to do, or you will bow as you enter eternity without him forever. You think a Christmas without Jesus is tough. Think about forever without Jesus. That's tough. It's called hell, actually. And it was created for Satan and his angels. Man was not to go there. But for some cockeyed reason, man insists to go there. It's bizarre to me. Read later Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, and read about how Jesus reached out and rescued a lost and lonely world. And then Isaiah 53 is amazing. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us in verses 4 through 7, surely. Now listen to this. This is, again, 740 years before Jesus was born. Listen to what the prophet, under the influence of God, said. Surely he has borne our griefs. This is speaking about the Messiah. He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. God laid on him our sins and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Church, this is the gospel message, the Christmas story, written 740 years before Jesus was ever born. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see how you can't save yourself? He already did it. Just come to him. Receive him. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened up not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. What does the Bible say? Jesus is the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Are you guys bored with this? I am so pumped about this. Because we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I don't have to read to you some other book that explains what the Bible says. I don't have to give you a library of books to help you understand your way. God has announced it simply. What story in all the world compares to this human event that Jesus Christ came? Not too long ago, someone was talking to me and they were trying to defend their cult belief, and I was amazed because nothing that they were saying made any sense. And it didn't even make sense to them. You can tell by their eyes. They're talking about it, and they start looking left and right, like they're going to say, well, that's stupid what you just told me. That's dumb. But yeah, well, okay. Anyway, and they go on to the next topic. And this was their big rescue. Well, we talk about Jesus all the time, and we have so many things in common with Jesus. Like, that's your safety valve? Oh, you have so many things in common about Jesus. For example, at this time of the year, yes, we have a Christmas tree. We have a little nativity that was given to us by a grandma. We put on the TV, put a little light bulb on it. But outside of that, oh, you have those kinds of things. Wait a minute. Is that the validation? Is that the stamp We have many things in our faith or in our cult belief system and or whatever our aberrant view. It associates with Jesus. My friend, you better be careful about associating with Jesus, because he ain't the boy next door. He's not a friend down the street. You don't casually approach Jesus. You worship him in spirit and in truth. He is God eternal. The Bible says he's our Savior. You have some things in association with Jesus? That's scary. No, it's either him. The Bible's either true or it's not. The Bible is either factual or it's not. And for those who search and see, you're fully convinced. My favorite Christmas verse of all, I'm going to give you right now. It is the best. Are you ready? You're going to love this too. When you get the explanation, it's precious. It's 1 Timothy 3:16. That's an easy one to remember. 1 Timothy 3:16. And I want to read it to you so very carefully. The greatest, in my opinion, Christmas verse ever. Without controversy, the word means with no ability to refute. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. God was manifested. The word is physically appeared in the flesh. Ooh, deal with that. It's called Christmas. Number two, was justified by or in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. That's his mission. Now watch this. The word seen. You've heard me do this before. I got to do it again at Christmas. It's perfect. The word seen in Greek is where we get the word, by the way, for ophthalmology, or if you're an optometrist, it comes from this Greek word. That's a Greek word meaning this. And this is what the angels did. Look, it says seen by angels. I want to argue with you this morning this. I think it's pretty impossible to impress an angel who sees awesome stuff all the time. How do you freak an angel out? Apparently, this is how you freak an angel out. Seen by angels. Jesus was seen by angels. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Isn't he always seen by angels? Answer, no. Because the Bible says that in the presence of God, the angels, as they appear, with wings they cover their bodies, with wings they fly, and with wings they cover their face in his presence. The word to be seen or seen by angels means to gaze, being transfixed, to be wide-eyed, to be holding something that is remarkable, to be earnest, listen, to continue to inspect it, to be watching it, to peer into it. Some words have to lean into it. The angels, can you imagine? Here's Mary, and I mean this with all due respect. Here's Mary giving birth, and in that culture, she wasn't laying on her back with her knees and her legs in a stirrup like we do in the West. She would have been on two milking stools or two stones. She would have been squatting. And the Bible says here that angels gawked. The word is to gawk. They were wide-eyed and staring intently at the delivery of their Creator, Jesus Christ. When he was coming out of Mary, veiled in human skin, it suggests that it's the first time the angels had ever seen him, because they have their faces veiled in his presence in heaven. As his little head is crowning the little black hair of that little Jewish baby, he's coming out. The angels were going, oh! Can you imagine another angel coming into land with the wings? Lands, shh, quiet, be quiet, here he comes. They were gawking with an intense stare. They were looking and they were leaning in. Oh, wow. Look at him. He is the one who made us. Look at him. Why would he take on a human form? Oh my goodness, look. Why would this be? It's for you. It's for me. It's called Christmas. Man, if angels freaked out over it, I think I better freak. And be so thankful. Something happened in that manger scene that people have been talking about ever since. Point number two this morning, imagine a Christmas without Jesus. We'd have to reject the historical data. We'd have to reject the historical data that has been accumulated throughout time. Number one, the evidence of history itself. The Bible says in John 21, this is the disciple, speaking of himself, John is, who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The historical evidence of Jesus Christ, my friend, you can go to secular research locations of the Roman Empire and read all about him. You can read books that have been published that, yes, I understand, they mentioned Jesus in a haphazard kind of a way, that there was this magician from Israel, there was this one who people suppose is the Son of God, all these derogatory things. If you can handle that, just filter through it and read or listen to what they're really saying. They are very uncomfortably admitting, yeah, it's true. Rome testified to the fact, the greatest empire in the world that was the mother of modern day record keeping and census taking and the organized system that we have today. Yeah, they have much writings about Jesus. The historical evidence about Jesus Christ. Nobody in the world says, I don't believe he ever lived. I mean, you got to be insane. You're messed up because you'd be fighting against more documented data proving his existence in historical accounts than the very existence of George Washington, the founder of our country. There's more evidence for Christ historically. Also, the evidence regarding the recorded eyewitness accounts. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. We touched him. We talked to him, John is saying. That life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness to you and declare that he is eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen, we heard, and we declare that to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. Don't you love that? Did anybody hear that? Raise your hand if you just heard what I just read. You guys? John is saying, listen, we've been telling you this stuff for so long. Here's the deal. I saw him with my eyes. I touched him. And if that wasn't enough, go ask anybody else around here. They saw him. They touched him. We heard him. We watched him work. And on top of all of that, here's our point. We are inviting you to know him so that you might have joy. You need to hear that right now. I need to hear that right now. I am studying so hard for some things in the upcoming future, and I got to tell you, it's all about modern day junk. And you can get depressed. And then when I back up and push away, the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That he has come and invites us to know him that we might have joy. Man, that's good stuff. If anybody invites you to live, exist, survive in some sort of totalitarian barbarism, you know what? Why would you leave the joy of the Lord and the comfort of the love of God? Why would you leave the Christmas story of Jesus for some man-made concoction? It's amazing to me. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, there the scripture announces to us that she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Listen to the heart of God. God wants everybody to be joyful. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angelic multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What an awesome thing. The angels announcing, hey, this is what's going on. And so he didn't say, this is what's going on. Okay, angels, take your position. Dun, 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 dun. He's saying, this is a story. This is what happened. Hey, shepherd, this is the deal. And heaven interrupts. They just can't take it. Behind that angel who's giving the announcement, there's some other angel that says, take it from the top, boys. And kaboom, heaven breaks into worship. Wouldn't you love to have been in those fields that night? Man. Well, it would have freaked us out because these angels were, shepherds were terrified. Eyewitness accounts, very quickly, I'm running out of time. Luke chapter 23 announces to us that the Roman government admitted to Jesus Christ. The Jewish leadership who didn't believe in him, they admitted. They can't deny him. Remember, they didn't believe in him. But they couldn't deny his existence. There's historical records of that. The very events, by the way, around his life. In Psalm 22:18, written 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born, Psalm 22:18 says that they're going to divide his garments and they're going to cast lots for his coat. Guess what happened at his crucifixion? They cast lots for his coat, fulfilling Psalm 22. That's written in history. Roman Empire observed that. They're the ones that did it. And then finally, under this point, we'd have to reject the historical data, and that the evidence is this: societal and cultural change happens when Jesus is embraced. The historical data shows us that there's a great societal shift in cultures that receive Jesus Christ. This, to me, is an absolute fun thing and a terrifying thing. Church, are you with me? Go study. Please do this. Read. Study. And find this out. The wonderful thing is that wherever the gospel of God, the Christmas story, whatever culture, whatever region or state or whatever family or whatever person receives that message, there is a dramatic societal or cultural change in their life. Dramatic. It's legendary. There's nothing like it in the world. Cultures all around the world know this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Of course, Christmas is just days away, and that's the very reason we bring this to you today on Real Radio. This Christmas season, we encourage you to wish someone a Merry Christmas and remind them whose birthday it is. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus is the title of this presentation, delivered by Pastor Jack from the pulpit earlier this month. And of course, broadcasting it on the radio means that we're bound by time restrictions, so we've made Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus available online at no charge. As you can probably tell by Jack's passionate delivery, we just want to shout this from the rooftops. Also, what you'll hear online is the entire uncut version of the whole series delivered over a series of Sundays. You can even watch the presentation if you prefer. Remember our website, www.realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. To find out more, call us at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and your financial and prayerful support. Until next time, Merry Christmas from all of us at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And as always, our wish for you is solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.